听力课堂，听 class.com。
Step by step, book four. Unit 63, Customs and Habits, 1.Lesson 125, Part 1, Warming Up Exercises. Note-taking, Traffic Regulations and Driving Habits in Some European Countries. You are going to hear some information about traffic regulations and driving habits in some European countries. Listen carefully. Note down the important points mentioned. Traffic regulations and driving habits vary from country to country.It is wise to observe them since penalties can be severe and imposed on the spot. Note these points about some European countries. In Austria, a first aid kit is compulsory. Driving licenses will be confiscated for an alcohol offense. On mountain roads, the vehicle traveling uphill has the right of way.In Belgium, traffic from the right has the right of way. If you are involved in an accident, you must stay at the scene until the police allow you to leave. In France, seatbelts are compulsory outside built-up areas.If you are found to be over the alcohol limit, you can be imprisoned for between 10 and 30 days, as well as fined. In Holland, seatbelts are compulsory for drivers.And front seat passengers unless they are under 1.6 meters tall. Children under 6 must sit in the back. In Italy,Penalties are heavy for drunken drivers. Sometimes they can be put in prison for up to 6 months. Translation of driver's license is essential. In West Germany, a red warning triangle is compulsory.Parking facing the oncoming traffic is forbidden. In Yugoslavia, drivers must stop and help anybody injured in a road accident. If the police think you have caused an accident,They may detain you first and argue about it afterwards.
Part 2.
Different countries, different customs. Even nowadays, there's a lot of misunderstanding between different nationalities and groups of people. We may read a lot of books about different religions,countries, ideas, and politics, but not many people really manage to escape prejudice of some sort or another. Let's have a look at what the following people have to say.
I find English people insincere, cold, and unfriendly. They are so polite to one another. I mean, they keep saying thank you or I'm so sorry to each other, even in shops when they don't know each other.They are even polite to their own relatives. This is where I find them insincere and cold. Apart from helping you find your way in the street, they aren't really friendly and never invite you to their houses.
Before going to England, I thought English people were conservative and reserved. And I found them both broad-minded and friendly. Moreover, they were so hospitable. I was invited to people's houses, and they all showed great interest in my ideas, Greek life and people, etc. In England, I learned that it's possible to be warm and friendly and polite at the same time.
I lived in both Italy and Greece for a couple of years. In the beginning, there were a few misunderstandings between my foreign friends and myself, and even after 2 years, I was always surprised by certain differences. For example, I took a Greek friend a present for her name day party. I was rather offended that she didn't unwrap it immediately. She just said, "Oh, thank you," and put it in her room. Moreover, she didn't even thank me until I asked her if she liked it. I learnt from different experiences that a lot of foreigners find our attitude to what we call politeness rather insincere. They feel, for example, that politeness isn't necessary between friends, and in some ways I agree. There were other differences, of course, and in the end I realized that you have to be tolerant with people, and before criticizing them, you must take all sorts of differences into consideration. Religion, social and cultural differences, education, etc. At the end of my stay, I felt that I'd learned a lot from my foreign friends and felt a foreigner in my own country. Even so, I feel that my very closest friends are and will always be British. I love my foreign friends, but at some levels, there are basic differences that you can't and shouldn't try to change. I wish more people could have had my valuable experience.
Exercises. Complete the statements in the left-hand column, and then note down the supporting details in the right-hand column.
I consider friendship to be one of the most important things in life. Whatever your status, married or single, I see too many lonely people around. A lot of us get so involved with material values, family problems, keeping up with the Joneses, etc., that we forget the real meaning of friendship.
Which is what, according to you?
They say a friend in need is a friend indeed, which is partly true. But a real friend should also be able to share your happy moments without feeling jealous. A good friendship is one where you accept and forgive faults, understand moods, and don't feel hurt if a friend doesn't feel like seeing you. Of course, honesty is an essential part of any relationship. We should learn to accept our friends for what they are.
As a married man, do you find your friendships are only with other men?
Of course not. Both my wife and I have men and women friends, thank goodness. Although family life is fulfilling, it isn't enough. Both my wife and I get tremendous satisfaction from our friends, married and single, male and female. And we both have our separate friends, too. We'd get bored with each other if we had the same friends.
You must have a full life.
We certainly do. And as I say, our friends give us a lot of pleasure. After all, friends should not be people with whom you kill time. Real friendship, in my opinion, is a spiritually developing experience.
Exercises. Complete the summary by using the information you get from the tape.